Well, hello everybody. It's wonderful to be with you all again, and thank you for inviting me back. I don't know about you, but I think it's psychological, but whenever there's a daylight savings shift, I feel like I've lost that hour forever. Like, it just doesn't come back. But I hope you've all had a decent rest, and it doesn't seem like today is as hot as they said it would be, but I'm glad that you've all made it here today. So the message I have for you today is a bit of an interesting one, because when I was going through the readings for the week for this sermon, it was one of those weeks where you sort of look at all the different readings and you say to yourself, how do I turn this into a message? Because they don't seem to connect at all. And if you just use one, and it's quite boring. But in doing a sort of deep reading on the Old Testament reading and the Gospel reading, I did sort of come up to this theme of faith. So I'll focus on the first one. So from the reading in Lamentations, which was written by Jeremiah, the prophet, who was said that he could have written his books with tears instead of with ink, we come to this story of, or this scene that he's describing of Jerusalem in ruins. And so when life feels ruined, Scripture gives us two gifts: that we can lament honestly, and then we have the call to keep walking in small, faithful obedience. Mustard seed trust and humble, authentic, everyday living is how the Holy Spirit carries us through ruin. The prophet describes the city as how lonely sits this city. It's sort of a, lamenting is not so much a complaint, it's more of a grief-stricken observation. You're sorrowful about something that you've seen. And we can put this into a time. We can, Jerusalem was sacked in 587 BC, and that's what he's describing, that's what he's seen. And so that's what he laments. He says, how lonely sits this city. And he goes on a description of what's wrong with it and what's happened. The gates are desolate. It's like a widow. There's no comforter. The leaders are like deers who have run off from the pasture. And he's sorrowful for this. So what are we taught from that? We are taught that not to look away from the wreckage, but to name it. And so I want you to think about a time in your life. You might be going through it now. It might have happened in the past, but it still bothers you, where you are allowed to lament. Because it is quite easy for us to, in Christianity, because just generally how sometimes the messages go, we always have to be upbeat, always have to be positive, always have to quote, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, and all the rest of it. Nothing particularly wrong with that, but there is a moment, there is a space where you are allowed to lament. In the past, when I've preached here, I've told you many stories from the Bible of people who went through such a time where they were even despairing of life. They wanted to die, like Elijah, like St. Paul, like Joseph, like David. They all went through this time. Faithful people are allowed to lament. A grief that is voiced to God is not failure, but it's an act of faith. Because when the Bible talks about faith, what the Bible is really talking about is trust. So when you're talking about, you see, when Jesus says, particularly to, like for example, the centurion, I've not seen great faith like this in all Jerusalem. He's saying, I haven't seen a trust like this before. And when it's told that you are to have faith in God, it's calling you to have trust in God. In the same way that you all trusted the seat that you sat on when you sat down, you didn't think it was going to break, all the walls will collapse and the roof will cave in on you, you had a trust there. A sort of unshakable trust. So we fast forward to the gospel reading and to Jesus' day, and the disciples, who they have in their defense, have heard some really hard teachings from him. If you read up until where the reading started in 17 verse 5, Jesus has given a very, very tough teaching, where he's told them that they have to forgive always their enemies. He's called them to live a standard of life that's the cost of discipleship. And their response is quite natural, which they say to him, increase our faith. Give us the faith to endure this calling that you've called us to. And what's interesting is that he doesn't do that. He turns to them and he says to them that if you had faith as a mustard seed, not so much more faith felt, but a real faith lived. There's many times when the disciples panic in the story of Jesus where he does question them, where is your faith? Like when they're on the boat and there's a storm. I'm sure all of you know that story. And they cry to him and say, we are perishing. And he says, where is your faith? He didn't say they didn't have any faith. He just said, where is it? Because the faith was either in him or within their circumstance. And the beautiful thing about a mustard seed is that if you've ever seen one before, it is so small. It's almost a little bit bigger than a grain of sand. And so what we take from that is not so much that it's the size of faith that you have, but it's more about the quality of the faith. What is it in? You need a mustard seed faith to move a mountain-sized problem, not a mountain-sized faith to move a mustard seed problem. And the following parable he gives to them, after saying to them that if you just had the faith of a mustard seed, he says to us, well, it shows us that faith expresses itself in steady, unglamorous, mundane, everyday living. You don't need the big pomp spectacle of miracles and supernatural and all that sort of stuff. Although that would be nice. But that's not where it's seen. It's seen in the fact that you all turned up to church today. You probably had a big week, a tough week, month, year, decade, but you still turned up. When you say your prayers, you're still turning up. When you read your Bible, you're still turning up. These small little acts that not everybody sees, that you're probably not even aware that you're doing, are your small acts of faith. There's still a part of you that trusts to go on. So in lament, we refuse denial and despair. So it's good for us to remember that. Faith is not about size, but it's about where it is. The smallest seed is alive and it is rooted. It's interesting that he uses the example of a mulberry tree, because a mulberry tree was known for being a very stubborn plant with deep, immovable roots. Now, I just went through a list of things that our mulberry trees would be. Resentment, fear, despair, doubt, debt, worry. These are the things in our life that you might not be able to point to one single thing saying, that's my problem, but those roots go deep. For myself personally, and for those of you who know me, one of my biggest ones is worry. I worry all the time about the dumbest things. My mind torments itself with what if. And I sit in just sort of a state of dread because of what if this happens. Or I reflect on the past. If only that happened. Fearful of the future and resentful of the past. Tears you in two directions. So what do I do with it? And what can you do with it? Offer it up to God as an act of faith. Trust. We saw from the reading of the reading in Lamentations from Jeremiah is that he did not deny what had happened to that city. It had been assaulted, it had been beaten, it had been pretty much destroyed, and he said, look how lonely this city is now. It's okay for you to go into your secret place and with a broken heart say what it is that you're upset about. That's better than you pretending it didn't happen. Because as I said, in lamenting, we refuse denial and despair. One third of the Psalms, and there's 150 of them, one third of those are Psalms of lament. You can read the life of David, and then you can read his Psalms where he does question God about why this happened. He questions himself, why is my soul cast down? You read the story of Job and he questions, why did this happen? How do I get through it? Jesus in the garden, is it possible for this to pass from me? St. Paul, all have left me, only Luke is with me. We were persecuted so badly that we despaired even of life. Elijah slumped under a tree in despair and prayed that he might die. Those are honest, authentic reactions to life circumstances. And naming them, bringing them before God, is you acting out faith. I trust you enough to tell you the truth. Think of it that way. You trust God enough that you're telling God the truth. And you can say, I don't know what I'm going to do here. I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm giving it to you. So just in finishing, I'll sum up the two. Lamenting will keep your heart soft. And faith will keep the fire burning and your feet moving. Amen.